And Head Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 13th of March, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul's continuing our series of During Lent, looking at the road to the cross. And this week he looked at how Jesus is anointed at Bethany. The reading is Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 19. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. It's lovely to be with you, to worship the Lord together with you. This church has this wonderful notice sheet produced every week out of our office, and if you don't read it regularly, can I encourage you to do so? Now, I know there are not many people that read it regularly because there have been a note left on the bottom which said, if you've got any items for Christmas, can you let the church office know? So I'm going to encourage you to read it for me. That would be brilliant. And that would help enormously as we try and update you as to what's going on. And one of the things that, of course, we want to do as a church is support those in Ukraine. At both of the exits, you'll find a notice that's about how you can give some of them needed supplies, medical supplies, etc., to the appeal in Ukraine. And the fact that they're being collected down at the old hospital every morning of the week. The details of what they need and the times for that will be at the entrances. But it's true to say that you will find at the front these little envelopes which say BMS appeal. We know that many people are giving through other ways, and that's wonderful. But we've also been made aware that there are some folk are saying, how can we give? Well, this is how. We're going to give through the BMS Ukraine appeal because, would you believe, the Baptist denomination is the largest Protestant denomination in the Ukraine. And so we know that money can go straight to where it's needed. So if you have a heart and you want to give that way, please come collect an envelope and give. Friends, this morning before we began, we were praying for those folk in our church who are suffering today because of the grief and loss of loved ones. And it reminded me of that amazing passage that the writer of Lamentation uses. If you've got a Bible that's got titles in, Lamentations chapter 3 starts with the title Hope in the Midst of Affliction. And from verse 19 it says this: I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And in the midst of all this morning in this church, who are in mourning and have times of grief and pain and loss, we come together this morning because we will worship our Lord, and we will remember the one whose great love is not consumed, and therefore we are not consumed. We have hope because the Lord's compassions and faithfulness are new every morning. So we're going to join Roy and the group in worship now. Remind ourselves of this great Lord who has given us hope, that even in the midst of the darkest times in our lives, he is not just there, but he is also the one who cares.
Thank you, Paul. Before we sing, just some familiar words from Acts chapter 4, from verse 11. Excuse me. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Let's stand and sing, Salvation Belongs to Our God.
To our God.
Morning, everybody. Oh, are you okay? It's a tough morning, isn't it? It's tough, right? Oh, it's tough, but we're okay. Oh, has anyone ever been to a party? Not many of you. A bit disappointing, really. Okay? You need to get out more, maybe have a few more friends or something like that. Has anyone ever been invited to a party? Yes. Okay. Did anyone get an invitation? What sort of things would it say on your invitation?
Everybody's turned up
to serve a piece of that, I guess. Yeah. Anyone, anything? Go on, Jamie. Right. You are invited. I like it down here. Bring a bottle. All right. That was good. Anything else on an invitation? Pardon? A phone number to tell them if you're coming, yeah? Anything else?
RSVP,
let them know you're coming. Indy? What time the party is? Anything else? Where's the party? All those things are in an invitation. Okay, here we go. Now, remember you're in church, okay, and you need to tell the truth. Has anyone ever been to a party when you've not been invited? Has anyone gate-crashed a party? Yes, good. All right, I won't ask for any more details, but if you've been to a party... Our story, our Bible reading today, is about someone who gate-crashed a party. So in our reading, Simon invited Jesus to come to his house. Now, there are two stories in the Bible, and it might be Simon the leper, or it might be Simon the Pharisee. We don't know, but if you want to find out more, please come to church at 4 this evening, when Mark will be talking about it. Okay, so there's an advert for church at 4, right? But we don't know, but it said Simon, okay? So Simon's invited Jesus. Now, Jesus is there at the party, then all of a sudden, this lady comes in. We don't know who the lady is, again. We're not sure. There's different names they put there. It could be Mary, Mary and Martha. We're not sure. So Mary or someone comes in. And she stands behind Jesus and she starts to cry. Because she's heard that Jesus is a good person. And she's not that nice, apparently. She's done some not very nice things in her life. But she cries because Jesus is good. And when she gets there, she realises the tears are going down onto his feet. And she goes round and she washes, dries his feet with her hair. And then she opens up some really expensive perfume and anoints Jesus. Again, that could be that actually it's the leading up to Jesus' death and she's been anointing him. And then Simon gets really upset and annoyed that this woman's come into his house and gate-crashed his party and he's causing all this fuss. And Jesus says to Simon, right, you didn't even kiss me when I came in. You didn't even offer me water to wash my feet when I came in. Yet this lady hasn't stopped kissing me since I've been here. This lady hasn't stopped washing my feet and she's used her expensive perfume. Which one are you? Are you the person who welcomes Jesus in? With tears? With expressions of love? Or are you Simon? Who just moans a bit and is angry because it's not going his way. And he's not getting what he wants out of that encounter. Let's pray. Lord, this morning I do feel like crying. I can feel the tears welling up for lots of reasons this morning. Lord, let me, help me, be the person who welcomes you warmly into my heart. Who welcomes you warmly into my house. Who welcomes you warmly into all that I do. Help me be the person that gives you all that I've got. Come into my heart now, Lord. and help me be extravagant with the gifts that you've given me. Amen. We can have another song, I think. Thank you, Roy.
Right, before fire starters leave, we're just going to sing one more song. Father God, I wonder how I manage to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood.
Lord, that is our prayer. That our worship may be more than merely just words, but our worship may be the movement of the Holy Spirit to the glory and honour of our Saviour and a declaration of the majesty of our Father God. Move mightily, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to come before our Lord with our prayers of intercession. But this morning, we need to set them in some context because, yes, we are going to pray for Ukraine. But we're going to use some pictures. There are pictures, first one, if you put up for me, Brian, of a church. In the Ukraine at the moment, people, as we know, are having to leave everything. Everything can flee. Ukraine, as we know, has, just to let you know, there are more than 2,000 Baptist churches in Ukraine. So earlier on when I said it's large, I mean it's large. And what you see in behind me is a picture, just to check, is a picture. It's of a Baptist church actually in Poland. And it's what worship there looks like this Sunday morning. All those precious pews piled up against space for people to sleep. It challenges us. And rightly so, as Mark said, we're going to look this morning at the story of the woman who pours the perfume over the head of Jesus. There's a bit of reverb on the sound, Steve, here, I don't know. That perfume was expensive. It challenges us, before we come to our prayers of intercession, to ask ourselves, what would you, dear church, be prepared to sacrifice in order to take in refugees? Would we worship like that this Sunday morning? What would you, dear church, give up that you consider is most precious to you in worship, in order that our worship may reflect the beauty and the honour of our Lord? That's how we're going to pray. Just to show you, that's the church from the other angle. What is worship but to do what the Lord requires of us, according to Micah 6:8? To love justice, to demonstrate mercy, to walk humbly before our God. And it's the whole church that's been affected. There you go. That's their kitchen area, which has now become a place where many from their community can come and get food. So we're going to pray against that backdrop. There's a pastor that has been in regular contact with some of us in the UK. His name is Igor. You'll have heard me mention him before. In a recent reflection on 2 Corinthians 1:8 to 10, he shared his thoughts about the uncertainty of the war in his country. But he said this: Ukrainian Christians have made a daily decision to trust God and trust his provision. We continue to work. Why? Because God continues to work in us through his strength. That's the background against which we pray. And therefore, friends, I invite you to pray with me this morning for the situation in Ukraine and for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout Eastern Europe. Let's pray. Father God, we come this morning before you in prayer for Ukraine, for Russia, for that part of the world that we call Eastern Europe. And Lord, as we hear the reports in our news, as we hear and see all that's going on, it's sometimes really difficult for us to even fathom quite what's at the heart of all of this, or what the solutions are. But we can and should and must join with our brothers and sisters in Christ and pray that you, Father God, will continue to break through in Ukraine in the coming days. That you, God, would give your supernatural power through the Holy Spirit to all that is bigger than individuals or situations, and all that our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine can manage. Give them supernatural power that through the Holy Spirit talks to not just those around them, but also to invader and conqueror in their own words alike. I thank you for those examples that are already coming from the Ukraine, where Christians have fed Russian soldiers, and in doing so have been able to speak into their lives the reality of who Jesus Christ is. Sacrificial love and sacrificial giving and sacrificial extravagant worship. We pray that that, Lord, may be the hallmark of who you are and your Holy Spirit may break through. We pray for those trapped in cities, trapped in churches, in occupied cities, that even as they are surrounded by their enemies, God would surround them with Christian love and care. We pray that peace would reign for those fleeing. We pray for their self-passage, for welcoming arms and hot food. We pray that your churches, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be able to minister to all, and that church leaders will know the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We pray for those arriving in Poland and all those countries that are feeding the poor, housing the homeless, reaching out in love to those whose world, whose life appears shattered. Father God, we pray as Pastor Igor prayed right at the beginning of this, that all who are yours, that are working for your honour and glory, whose worship is extravagant this morning, in the Ukraine, in Poland, in those countries that have refugees, and indeed in Russia itself, that all may keep believing that by the grace of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God would be glorified and honoured and praised in any outcome. And for us who do not understand, we say, Lord, take our non-understanding and have your way. And so, Lord, we pray. And as we do so, we bring not only Ukraine to you, but all those other areas of the world where man takes up arms against man, where destruction reigns rather than peace. And say, minister, Lord, in those parts of the world where humanity is simply interested in its own ways. And have your way and reign in peace and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we're also going to just now and live pray for all of those in our church, and there are a number this morning who suffer in grief and loss. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are who you say you are, and we pray for all known to us by name who suffer this morning because of loss and grief and pain and worry and anxiety. And to all of them, Lord, over all of them, Lord, we pray the blessing of Jesus Christ, And we pray they would be known to you and know you. And that you, Lord, in the midst of their grief, would be their comforter. In the midst of their pain and their sorrow, would be their healer. In the midst of their uncertainty and their doubt, would be their way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining with me in those prayers. And can I encourage everyone online here in the church itself to keep on praying. Margaret's going to come and read to us from Mark's Gospel this amazing account of a woman and her alabaster jar.
This is from Mark chapter 14, and beginning at verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the house of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray now for Paul as he brings your word to us. Lord, that you will anoint him to speak your words into our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. So this week we continue to look at some of the things that were happening to Jesus as he journeys to Jerusalem on the way to the cross, to the events of Holy Week, to all that does happen on the cross, to beyond, to Resurrection Sunday, and indeed beyond that. And we've come to Bethany. It was one of those things that his wife would never forget. He'd never been an emotional man, that's true to say. But she woke in the middle of the night, and to her surprise, he wasn't in bed next to her. But slowly, as her eyes adjusted to things, she saw he was over in the corner of the room and bent over their newborn baby's cot. What did she do? She lay there for a little, and she began to see on his face a mixture of emotions as he stared. Disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment, scepticism. She'd never expected him, never known him to be this emotional, so she got up and she was touched, really, so she slipped her arm into his. This was deep emotion, something she'd not been used to. And almost with tears kind of glistening in her eye, as she approached him and she held him, she said, "A penny for your thoughts." As he stared down at the crib with the baby lying there, he said, "It's amazing. It's amazing. I just cannot see how anyone can make a crib like that for £25. In one sense, friend, what does that say? It tells us that some people can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes, here he is and he's looking at this miracle in a crib. And he's thinking about the cost of the crib. Sometimes, if we concentrate on the details of a problem, we lose sight of the overall picture. In other words, if you focus on the unimportant, rather than on the important things, you miss the big picture. Now, in Mark chapter 14, we met a woman who demonstrates her commitment to Christ by breaking an expensive container and pouring an extravagant amount of oil, ointment, out on Jesus. Mark doesn't identify her because he puts his focus on who she is, rather than but on what she did. But in fact, as Mark said earlier on, we know from John 12 verse 3 that her name was Mary. It's a similar passage, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And we know one other thing. Assuming this is Mary, and we'll say that for now, she sees, does she not, the bigger picture of what's actually happening here. And so in order to understand that big picture, how Mary sees things, we need to take a look at what was happening prior to this. According to John, about a week or so prior to this event, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. And the Jews of that area had heard about this miraculous miracle and it had caused quite a stir among them. The Jewish leaders of the area called an emergency meeting. And so they discussed the latest in this series of events that had caused such an upset to their religious community. And at the centre of all of that upset from their perspective was Jesus. This man from Nazareth going around their area, causing all sorts of havoc. They asked themselves what they thought was the big question of the day. How much longer could they let this man upset the religious apple cart? That passage that we read, thank you for reading it, Margaret, that shows Jesus being anointed, also asks a big question of us. It's a question that applies to us today and every day. What do you want your act of worship to be? Do you want it to be a religious act or an act of love? Here's the deal, church. You remember that picture we showed of the church in Poland? If that was the UK, then if I pray to God that this church would do the honourable, God-given thing, and frankly, if it was us here, we'd find a space full up with places where people can go rather than seats where we could sit. Because that's worship, isn't it? What this woman did that day when Mary poured this oil on Jesus' head was worship. Beautiful worship. And incidentally, you'll have seen that in verses 4 and 5, they, whoever they are, rebuke her. I want to tell you that's a spiritual smoke screen. Pretending to be concerned for the poor, but in reality, it's all about self-interest. John specifically mentions this is Judas, Jesus' ministry treasurer, John 12, verses 4 and 5, if you want the reference. And Judas has indignation over Mary's act of worship. But he's not concerned for the poor, but for his own greed. Because this is the chap that embezzled funds. And no doubt he wanted the perfume sold so that the proceeds could be put into his care. See, the truth is, if we had to come in here this morning and our church worship was about feeding the poor, dealing with the refugee, giving them space, then that's the worship of God God wants from us this morning. And all the bells and smells and the whistles can go out the door. Because that's worship. Judas wanted this sold so that he had control. Jesus was saying to all, hold on a minute, worship is extravagant. And in many ways, the best worship of all is when you and I aren't in control. But the Holy Spirit is. And he calls us to do what he would have us do. As he watches what is happening, all Judas sees is himself. All Mary sees is the love she has for her Saviour. And that challenges you and I, doesn't it? Those pictures challenge you and I to say to ourselves this morning, what do you want? You choose. Do Do you want to anoint your Saviour with your worship this morning with love? Or are you determined to worship your worship this morning to be what you want, holding on to your agenda, going your way? You choose. Mary understands that as she pours out this expensive perfume. It's a perfume called Nard, and it comes from the mountains of India. And probably the bottle would have been worth a year's salary, or potentially a lifetime savings. That's an act of worship. It might be equivalent to you and I going and buying the most expensive bottle we could find and pouring it out on our Saviour. Now, I did try and find out what the world's most expensive perfume was. Okay? I joke not when I tell you it comes in a gold and diamond encrusted bottle. And the bottle is worth over £1 million itself. As for the cost of the perfume, you can only get the cost if you can send an email to the company that produces it and prove you can afford it. So I have no idea how much it is. But I also want to tell you, because I learnt this for myself, there is a second-hand market for perfume. Did you know that? Ladies, go through your drawers later and see what little bits you've got left. I'm going to do likewise with my aftershave. And the reality is, we may have the bottle sitting there. Because this perfume, whatever it is, sells for 50 millilitres on the second-hand market for £100,000. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow. But whatever the cost for Mary, Mary's act is her act of worship. She breaks this jar and she pours this perfume on his head. And the word used in scripture for broke means to crush and to break into pieces. In other words, once she's done this, there is absolutely no going back. You can't put this stuff back in the container, even if you think you've poured out too much, because there ain't no container. And as she does so, Mary is saying that our worship, her worship, must be unconditional and must be complete. Want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth this morning? Do it unconditionally. Whatever you came to church this morning thinking, I'll do that and I won't do that, if the Lord calls you to do what you don't want to do, go do it. That's unconditional worship. Want to know what that was like? I was up in a Methodist church. Now, with every apology to every Methodist who's watching online, putting your hands in the air, you're some kind of lunatic, aren't you? That was what I was brought up with. And yet, when the Lord said, worship me that way, and I let go of all that I held dear, all that I felt, and I worshipped him as he would have me worship, that was amazing. What was also amazing was when I, after that happened, one spring harvest, actually, to me, I went back home and I worshipped him with my hands in the air, and people were coming to me and saying, what was all of that about, Paul? And so I gave you beforehand the sense of what I had, that I would be ploughed down and told off. But in reality, people wanted to know about the truth of worship. What she does is unconditional and complete. And in a similar way, we must come before the Lord as Mary comes, mustn't we? What's complete worship? Well, she comes fully surrendered before our Lord, doesn't she? Not just for now, but for the rest of our lives. Friends, here's what I think God might be saying to some this morning. God is looking for you to stop skating on the surface of spiritual shallowness and give your all to the one who gave his all for you. Stop. Lord, this morning, if that's you, then you and I have got a common prayer. And here's the prayer. Lord, this morning, for us, move us from casual Christianity to convicted Christianity. From duty to delight. From obligation to opportunity. Because love, true love, is always, always, always extravagant. And I want to extravagantly love you, Lord, in my worship this morning. That's a statement, isn't it? True love is always extravagant. Do you believe me? Thank you. Bless you. I wondered how I could prove that to you. And so I imagined the conversation. Now, I'm not going to say, ask any gentleman here whether he's had this sort of conversation with his wife, or any lady whether she's had it with her husband, or anywhere in between. But imagine that time before you got married. Do you remember that? Some over the back, not long ago, you can remember, surely. Before you got married, okay, remember those amazing times when you were, depending upon your age, either stepping out or courting or dating. And I think that's the order it goes in time, but you get my drift. Now imagine you're calling this person that you love dearly on the phone. Imagine the conversation. I've done some imagining for you. This is my imagined conversation, okay? Maybe it would be to Lorraine in my case. Darling, I love you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would swim the deepest river for you. I would fight a jungle of lions for you. I love you with all that I have and all that I am. And if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll be over to see you. Bluntly, friends, okay, we say, Jesus, I love you. I love you. You can take all I have and all I am. And then we put the condition on that says you can do all of that if it's not raining. Now, you can think about what your own it's not raining is, but you get my point. Mary chose another path, doesn't she? She treats Jesus like royalty. She loves extravagantly. And that's real worship. And this morning I stand in awe of Mary and of the way she worshipped the Lord that day. And I say, what about you? Is that how you want to worship your Lord this morning? Taking all that you have and simply worshipping. Or are you concerned about other things, I wonder, today? Mary worships with the most expensive thing she has. But it does ask a question, doesn't it? Biblical scholars tell it does. Richard's a biblical scholar and he tells me it does. So we're going to go with what the biblical scholars might say. It's like this. Why does she have the nard in the first place? Okay? Good question, Richard. I knew you were dying to ask it. What's she saving it for? Nard in that day had two primary purposes, and it was this. Firstly, nard could be used as a dowry to be presented to a husband. By breaking the jar and pouring it out on Jesus, she's giving up her security and putting her future in his hands. That's the image. Okay? And since Jesus is referred to as the groom of the church, and we Christians are referred to as his bride, surely the symbolism here is quite challenging and quite direct. Mary gives up all the dreams she has for the one who gave his all for her. And she puts herself firmly and squarely and plumbing the firing line, we might say, of all that Jesus wants from her. She gives everything, including all her dreams, her hopes, her expectations to Jesus. What about you and I? Are we prepared to do that this morning? But also, it was an oil that was used to anoint a body before burial. Perhaps she was saving the perfume for her own funeral, because nard was one of the things that was used as part of the embalming process. And by pouring the ointment on Christ, she was not only entrusting her life to him, but her very death to him, to the one who would die in her place. And this could well be, since there was another custom at the time, which meant that when you anointed the dead with spices and oils, what you then did was that you broke the bottle and you buried the broken bottle with the dead person. And what did Mary do? She broke the jar. I don't know. Scholars don't know. But I will tell you this. It was an amazing, extravagant act of worship. And it was precious. This perfume was precious to Mary. And what happened with giving our Lord this cost beyond price, it affected her financially, emotionally, psychologically and socially. And she gave it all to him. When was the last time we did that in worship? Or do we prefer to say, you can have all of my emotions, Lord, all of my mind, my whole social group, but as for my finances, I keep them to myself? Or do we say, you can have the money, I don't care about that, you can have all my emotions, but actually I want to keep doing things this way, if you don't mind, even though I know they're against your will. But she gave him everything. And she got life in return. Her expression of love could be called crazy, reckless, and even radical. But Lord, I want to do that this morning. May my worship and love of you be crazy, reckless, and radical. So there's another question coming. In what ways are you and I demonstrating our commitment to Christ in extravagant ways? What is God asking you to do that might be considered radical or even reckless? Is there something you alone can do that he's asking you to do? Do you know, I love this. I got to tell you, if the church was full of 100 of me, 100 pastors like me, I probably wouldn't come. But the reality is it's not, is it? You're not all like me. Aren't you glad? No, you don't seem that glad. I'm fairly sure you're fairly glad that you're not like me. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother, whoever that was. Hallelujah. But the truth is, God doesn't expect us to be equally gifted, does he? But what he does expect is equal sacrifice from us all. That's the reality of Scripture, friends. If you don't believe me, Mary gave something worth a lot of money, didn't she? And poured it out over the head of Jesus. The other great act of love and worship in the New Testament that I find that Jesus seems to can sort of say this is what it is when the woman gives her last two coins. We call it the story of the widow's mite. Both of those are acts of worship that are sacrificial. Do all you can with all that you have, might be how we sum them up. And lest we forget, this amazing act of worship happens not in a church or a synagogue, but in the home of Simon the leper or Simon the Pharisee. And I will be here at 4 o'clock to hear how Mark deals with that issue. So this morning I want to encourage you to worship the Lord wholly, fully, wholeheartedly, with everything you have. Roy, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord more with bluegrass music. Although I've got to be honest and say, I think my foot was tapping at the wrong beat. But I want to encourage you to worship the Lord as the Lord made you. And actually, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord as the Lord made you. With everything you have. Because I see in Mary someone I stand in awe of. The sister of Lazarus. Who worshipped the Lord in anointing him. And gives us a model of faithful discipleship born out of a profound sense of thanksgiving and worship. It's extravagant. John says that the whole house smelt of the perfume. You ever done that? Do you know how that is when your whole house smells of something? You got the picture? It's absolutely true to say in our house this morning, Paul could not get the toaster to work properly. And so our whole house smelt of very burnt toast. And you can smell it everywhere. When she poured this oil on Jesus' head, I put all I have on the fact that some dripped on the floor. And that house would have smelt of that perfume for days. And as people came to Simon's house, wonder what the conversation would have been. What's that perfume? Again and again, chance to talk about Jesus. About the message he brought. And all brought about because an extravagant act of worship. She was really profound in her thankfulness. Friends, as we journey through Lent, let us do so with that profound sense of thankfulness for what Jesus did for us on the cross. But let us worship him in spirit and truth and with all we have now. It's good, isn't it, Resurrection Sunday? Well, it's got to be one of your favourite days of the year, and if it's not yours, it's certainly one of mine. That day when we come and we go, look at what he did! But we don't have to wait till then. Because we can worship him in spirit and truth now. And all it takes is a little bit of what Mary had. Courage. It was courage to walk into that house, to break open the perfume, to anoint Jesus, to take the beating in verbally from those that said, what are you doing? It's courage. And I pray we may have courage in our worship. And I pray that our extravagant worship this morning may be so centred upon Jesus our Saviour that the world sees, and for want of a better phrase, the world smells too. Amen. Let's come before our amazing Lord. Father God, I pray for myself, for anyone that's been touched by anything of this morning's service, for that real deep down change in my life that means, Lord, I worship you extravagantly here this morning as you would have yourself be worshipped here. I thank you for the example of my brothers and sisters in Ukraine and Poland and beyond, whose worship this morning is about opening their hearts and their buildings to those who suffer. And Lord, whilst we cannot do that here, I pray that our worship may honour you and we may worship in spirit and truth. As you have challenged each of us to worship extravagantly, I pray, Lord, that in the next few minutes we may put that into practice and you would be glorified. And Father God, I pray that to the extent that I pray nothing of man would be left in our worship. And all may be to your glory and honour. I come boldly and with courage before you and say, be glorified in all my worship, because it's worship of you and I long for you to be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Roy and the group are going to come and lead us in a couple of songs which give us the chance to reflect upon that passage, to commit ourselves to worship, and to simply come before our amazing Lord. If any of you during this time have words of wisdom, pictures, passages to share, please come. I and Richard will be over here. We long to hear from you. If God has touched you in any way, please come. Let's pray for you. After the service, we're going to continue praying in here, and I'd ask you to go and get your coffee in the other room. But for now, let us come before our amazing God and worship in spirit and truth, in freedom and liberty, and let us worship wholeheartedly and extravagantly. Moment, because I just sense this. God wants to do something with someone here this morning, quite amazing. Do you know, the truth is that I put my hands in the air and I worship God, and I thought that was all there was to it. Over the next few years, consistently, God revealed to me the greater depth of worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I remember the day I had prayed for ages, Lord, I don't get this singing in tongues stuff, what it's all about. What it means. Is it real? Am I being deceived? And I remember all of those questions because I remember the day that the Lord went, just worship me. And I opened my mouth And these words come out. And there I was, praising God. Not in my language, but in the language that came from within me, from the very depths of me, that meant I'd gone beyond the praise I could give. And what more could I give? And the Lord just kind of took over. And I just have a sense the Lord wants to do something like that with someone here this morning, to release them so that they would praise the Lord in a way they've never praised before. For that day, it worried me, it scared me, it made me anxious. But I have to tell you, on that particular day, it invigorated me. It renewed me. It made me fresh in my worship. So I'm going to ask Roy to play that again, so that we can all sing it as loud as we can. In English, that's brilliant. But if the Lord wants to say to you, sing out your soul in this God-given language, then you are safe. Because as the person next to you sings in English, you can sing to the Lord in the message and the language of the heart. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I just want to say, this name of Jesus is a beautiful name. And if God gives you a new name this morning, hallelujah. Sing out to the soul, your soul to the Lord. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Friends, as a blessing over your life this morning and before we worship once again our amazing Lord, I want to pray over you the words that Jesus uses in John chapter 4 as he meets a woman around a well. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Hallelujah. I pray this morning, Lord, that our worship of you may be like the spring of water that wells up and overflows. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen. I pray this morning, Lord, that our worship would acknowledge who you are, and would acknowledge, Lord, that you are who you are. But would also, Lord, acknowledge that we worship in spirit and truth. So this morning, I pray a blessing on all, that this week our life and our worship may give you the honour, you the glory, acknowledge who you are, and may worship both in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. And we want to encourage you, friends, because we know a truth, that strength rises when you wait upon the Lord.
And can we, as we sing this, can we hold our brothers and sisters in Ukraine in our hearts? Pray. Let's sing this song as a prayer for them. Let's sing on their behalf. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
People here who feel on a cross by fears, by what's happened in the past, and it's an inhibition in worship. But in fact, the cross I see has one side of it broken. And I think that's saying that our crosses are broken by Jesus, so we are free to step forward.
Thank you for joining us in worship here in the church and online. If anything today has touched you, affected you, if you want to speak to someone, talk with someone, pray with someone, whatever you need to do, then there'll be folk around the church that'll be happy to do that after the service. Can I invite you, therefore, if you just want to catch up, to honour that reality and to go and catch up in another part of the church. There's a big hall up there. There's loads of rooms around there. If you get stuck for space, my car's outside. You can borrow it and sit in there. But the reality is we're going to honour people this morning who have been touched by the Lord. Have a great day, online or in presence. And may this Sunday be a very blessed time where worship is free of all boundaries.
Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.